Nothing has caused greater damage to Britain than the Second World War. Many towns and cities were devastated by the German bombing campaign. However, once the fighting had finished, it wasn't just the bricks and mortar that was rebuilt. This was a time for a new Britain. Society was reshaped, and a large part of this change was the founding of the National Health Service.
The new National Health Service starts, providing hospital and specialist services, medicines, drugs and appliances, care of the teeth and eyes, maternity services. Ask your doctor now if he'll look after you under the new scheme.
Lucy Reynolds is an academic specialising in health policy. She explains a simple idea that became a cornerstone of British society.
Everybody who paid any tax of any kind would be contributing to the system, and people would be able to use the system when they needed it, when they were ill. To do it that way is the cheapest way to arrange things. And overall, it was a very well-organised way of doing things, which is why it got copied by a lot of countries.
6 decades after the formation of the NHS, many British citizens cannot imagine life without it.
For me, it's a fantastic free service that keeps everyone fit and well. And it's pretty integral to our culture, I think, actually.
I'm happy for the fact that, yes, it is there. And if at any time you're like out of a job, low on funds, then it doesn't mean you would die because you can't afford health.
I think it's a good thing to have. Certainly I've been in this situation before where I've needed medical treatment and I wouldn't be able to afford it without the NHS. So yeah, it's hugely important and I think it's a good thing to have.
Well, life would be a lot harder without it, let's put it that way.
There's an annual official survey done of attitudes to the NHS and to many other aspects of society, and the popularity of the NHS was at an all-time high in 2010. There's also international academic evidence that the NHS was one of the most cost-effective and clinically effective health services in the world.
The NHS has huge political importance in the UK, and every political party goes into every election shouting loudly about their policy and plans for the NHS. Small reforms are constantly carried out on it, but the current coalition government has made some of the biggest changes ever seen. These changes could be the first step towards a privatisation of the NHS, and have stirred up anger amongst many health professionals. Dr. Dipankar Nandi is a consultant neurosurgeon in Imperial College Healthcare NHS Trust. He believes these changes may take time to implement.
Nobody likes change. It's human nature. So in that sense, I think no matter when and no matter in what fashion you introduce, especially in a huge organization like the NHS, which means so much to so many people, almost everyone in Britain, and also which occupies such a large portion of our public expenditure. So any major change in anything like this is never going to be universally accepted. And I think it would be wrong to expect that to happen.
Natalie Bennett is the leader of the UK's Green Party and strongly opposes the present health reforms. Her blueprint for the NHS in the future is to look to its past.
I think we need to go back to sort of 10 years or so back and look at what we had, which was a publicly owned and publicly run NHS, which is what the Green Party very much believes in and supports and would like to get back to. And that publicly owned and publicly run NHS that was based on providing services free at the point of need, based on need, that gave us one of the most cost-effective and best health services in the world. That was where we were. And you know, the kind of problems we're seeing now, which are being used to attack the NHS, you know, are the result of many of the changes that have already been made.
But the one thing that this has done, as I said before, is that it has made people sit back and think of, you know, what really is the National Health Service there for? How are we going to have to pay for it? Because that is very, very important. The ideal of providing absolutely the latest and the best in healthcare to everyone is a very good one, but someone has to pay for it. And I think it's very important everybody, in all stakeholders, which means all citizens of Britain, should think about it.
The main changes that the coalition has made to the NHS is who gets to spend the money. They want decisions about what supplies and services to fund to be made locally in each area, and for the people who make those decisions to be doctors themselves rather than managers. On the face of it, it sounds like a good idea.
It is in practical terms much easier for a user group, so a patient group in a community, to hold their local GPs or the local health authorities to account, because now they do not have the excuse of saying, well, we are doing what is coming from central diktat, because now they have a budget, they are in control of that budget, and they have a responsibility to deliver appropriate care. And in that sense, a member of the public has a greater say in many ways.
On the other side of this argument is Sue Richards. She's a member of Keep Our NHS Public, a campaigning group that sees the government reforms as damaging to the core principles of the NHS.
I think the government's rhetoric is that they've handed over power to the GPs through the clinical commissioning groups, which are dominated by local GPs, and which make the local decisions about commissioning. But actually what it's also put in place is a market framework that requires those GPs in the clinical commissioning groups to put services out to tender each time an existing contract with an internal NHS supplier comes up. It has to go out to tender. And of the umpteen of those that have so far been put out to tender since this Act came into being, 80% have gone out to the private sector. So it is very much still the thin end of the wedge in terms of privatisation, but it tells us very clearly what the direction of travel is.
It's still going to be funded by the state, but the state is going to be giving more and more of its money to private companies to provide services for patients. Now, at first, patients will feel very little difference because it will still be free. It's still free healthcare. But our concerns are that the private companies, to make a profit from a service, have to start to cut their costs. And the main way to cut costs is to cut staff levels, because staffing is the major expense. And once you start cutting the staffing ratios, quality of care goes down. And we have seen some examples of that.
Richard Taylor is a co-leader of the National Health Action Party. His medical career spans 4 decades, and he has a strong understanding of the health service in the UK.
Job security will go with privatisation, and the skill mix will go down because it's far cheaper to employ care assistants than registered general nurses. And so the standard of care inevitably could fall.
This is Andrew Lansley. The NHS reforms are his brainchild. He did not heed the dissenting voices we've just heard from and pushed his NHS reforms through. As you can see, his unshakable faith in these reforms has not made him popular.
Wait for change. You can wait. You can wait like you can wait like people are waiting for a bed now.
I promise you.
And when it goes private, Oh, God, what have you been privatised? This is 1979. Don't you dare lie to me.
79.
You're not going. I'm not letting you go. No, I'm not letting you go. No, I've been waiting to get this guy for 10 years.
Get into consultancy.
He's gutless, he's a coward, and he's got no conscience. They only look at the few who didn't vote against it, not the majority who vote against, always the few. They only look at the few because they know the majority are against them. So they never invite the majority, only their little few.
The Conservatives promised no major reform of the NHS during the 2010 general elections, but Lansley has been planning these reforms in secret for some time.
Actually, Andrew Lansley, the first Secretary of State in this government, first Secretary of State for Health, had been working for many years to introduce exactly what the 2012 Health and Social Care Act did bring about. So although there were elements of marketisation before, that was different from going over wholesale to a new market model.
The Conservatives are adamant that their reforms are the right thing to do and that the critics are wrong.
I'm committed to the changes, committed to taking them through, but we need to do everything we can to explain to people this is about improving and enhancing our NHS, not in any way endangering.
Is this stubbornness based on principle, or is it something darker? The Unite Union put together a dossier of MPs who have financial interests in private healthcare companies. Unite say that there is corruption at the heart of the NHS reforms. Many of these companies have made substantial monetary donations to influential Conservative MPs and ministers, and these companies will benefit financially from the reforms. Andrew Lansley, William Hague, and even David Cameron have links to such companies. The Conservatives are quick to point out that none of this information was secret, and that all ties to these companies were declared in the proper way. But the question remains, should an MP sever all ties with private healthcare before passing legislation that is hugely beneficial to those organisations? How can the public possibly trust the motives of their government when money is changing hands in this way? Unite call this a betrayal. The real question is, what does this mean for an ordinary member of the public? What effects have these reforms had on the healthcare provided to patients? And what do they mean for people working in the health service?
Down in Cornwall, there's a private company called Circle, which took over out-of-hours care there. And there have been many, many complaints and criticisms, including the fact that they fiddled some of their statistics. People don't have any choice but to use that service because it's the only one that's providing out-of-hours care. You've got Virgin Healthcare have taken over providing community services in southwest England, including palliative care for children and some community nursing and community hospitals. The problem